Dear Garden Witch, I've stained my fingers blue trying to do this right. Tonight, though, I'm feeling rather lonesome and overwhelmed, so I'm throwing caution to the wind and finally writing to you, a woman I do not know, with the honest understanding that you might not have the time or desire to write back in return. I guess the best place to begin is at the beginning, right? There's a ladies' 4-H group that meets at the church hall on Wednesday afternoons. I don't really fit in, but I'm trying to pass the time. Anyway, they didn't give out real names, only these addresses, you know, and said if we felt lonesome, which I do, or desperate, which I didn't, but I feel it creeping in on me day by day, or anything, we could sit down and write a letter to another girl who might be in the same situation. The situation. I just loved the way old Lady Moldyflower, Mrs. Moldenhauer, said it. What does she know about our situation? They passed a hat around that held pieces of paper with fake names and real addresses. I suppose the purpose is anonymity. But I figured if we're going to write, why not know each other? The paper slips hadn't been folded, and the girls were sifting through, picking whichever struck their fancy. The whole exercise felt silly and impractical, to tell you the truth. I wasn't going to take a name at all. But Mrs. Moldenhauer nudged me so hard, I believe she left a bruise on my upper arm. To spite her, I picked last. I guess the other girls skipped over you because you have witch in your fake name. I feel lucky I got you. I could use a little magic these days. I'm 7 months along now, and Robbie Jr. is only just 2. He's a holy terror. Well, here's hoping you get this and you feel like writing back. It'll be good to run to the mailbox looking for a letter without an army seal on it. My name is Gloria Whitehall. I'm 23 years old. My husband is First Sergeant Robert Whitehall in the 2nd Infantry. Nice to make your acquaintance. With fondest regards, Glory.
February 1st, 1943. Iowa City, Iowa. Dear Glory, I hope this letter finds you well. I apologize for its lateness, but to be honest, I spent a week debating whether or not to pass your letter along to Mrs. Kleinschmidt, my next-door neighbor. She dragged me to the Christmas party for the 4-H, which is when we war wives scrawled our phony names on those slips of pink paper. I was in an awful mood, hence my choice of pseudonym. I do, however, have a lovely garden from late spring through early fall. I can't say it's magical, but it definitely has personality. I planted sunflowers last year, and they grew to enormous heights, nearly reaching our gutters. Mrs. Kleinschmidt pronounced them vulgar and claimed that staring at their round, pockmarked faces gave her headaches. Of course, this is only incentive to plant more this year. Now, lest you think I truly am a witch, I should tell you about my situation, as your Rockport version of Mrs. K so quaintly puts it. My husband Sal is too old to fight in a war, but signed up anyway right after Pearl Harbor. Until then, he'd been teaching biology at the university here. He spent some years working in a hospital when we lived in Chicago, so they placed him as a medic with the 34th Infantry. Last I read, his division was in Tunisia. I had to look it up on a map. My boy, Toby, turned 18 on Halloween. By Christmas, he was in Maryland starting his basic training for the Navy. On the day he left, I was still making his bed and pressing out his clothes, so I'm worried sick about how he's going to manage. I can't imagine the drill sergeants are patient. Toby also looks young for his age. His cheeks are still rosy, and his hair is the color of the corn that grows on every square foot of this state. My parents were from Munich, so I've filled him with schnitzel and potato dumplings since he was as old as your Robbie. I'm hoping if he's spotted by the Germans, they'll take one look and mistake him for one of their own. The Führer's dream. Your boy sounds like a rascal. Toby was always quiet, but I do remember those toddler years, chasing him around the backyard, up the stairs, down the street. I didn't treasure them. I couldn't wait until he grew old enough to talk to me while we ate lunch. When he did, all he wanted to do was stick his nose in a book. I also understand about loneliness and not fitting in. I've lived in this town for 10 years and only have one woman I can call a true friend. Her name is Irene, and she works at the university library.